So what then was the Buddha's first victory? The first victory of all? Well, probably we don't know. But let us take what was at least an early victory. And let us consider its significance. Let us consider what it was a victory over. That victory, that first early victory that we know of, is generally known as the going forth from home into homelessness. Now, we don't usually consider this as a victory. We're not accustomed to consider this as a victory. But this is what it really was. It was a victory. Because supposing that you were the son or the daughter of wealthy parents, very wealthy parents, of high social position and great prestige. And supposing you were young and healthy and good looking. Supposing you were happily married, perhaps with a child. Would you have found it easy to give it all up? Would you have been able to go forth? And for the sake of what? For the sake of what you knew not what? For the sake of the truth, as we might say, but in any case, for the sake of something higher, something beyond anything that you had as yet experienced or imagined? Would you be able to do that from such a position? But this is just what the Buddha did. There are several accounts of what actually happened. Some of those accounts are very colourful, as we may say, indeed, even very romantic, if I may use such a word. They describe, for instance, how the Buddha drew aside a curtain in the inner apartments of his palace and took his last look, his last lingering look, his last long lingering look. His final farewell. Or as De Quincey says, his final, final farewell. At his sleeping, his peacefully sleeping wife, an infant son. And they described some of those accounts how the gods of the various heavens silently opened for the Buddha the gates of his father's palace so that he could depart unseen and unheard. And they describe how those same gods supported the hooves of the horse on which the Buddha was riding on the palms of their hands so that there should be no noise. But what appears to be the oldest account is actually very simple. These later elaborations, not as they embroideries, are very enjoyable, and they have their own meaning, their own message, but they are later. What appears to be the oldest account is in comparison very simple. The Buddha simply says to his disciples, reminiscing, so to speak, in his old age, not exactly writing his memoirs, but at least speaking them, he says, "After a time, monks, while yet of tender age, with the black hair of a lad, in the fullness of my youth, just entering manhood, against the wishes of my weeping parents, I had my hair and beard shaved off, put on the yellow robes, and went forth from the home into the homeless life." But whether the description is elaborate or simple, what happened, what actually happened, is sufficiently clear. The Buddha to be left home. He left his family. He left the group. So in what sense was this a victory? What was it a victory over? Well, in a way, it was a victory over the family, over the group, as represented especially by his parents. As the Buddha himself says, he went forth against the wishes of his weeping parents. But it was also a victory in a deeper sense than that. It was a victory over his attachment to the group. Because, after all, it could not have been easy for the Buddha to leave home, to leave his family. His actual departure must have been preceded by a long, perhaps a very long, internal struggle. But in the end, he broke free. He broke free from the group. And this did not mean just physically leaving the group. It meant overcoming group attitudes, group conditioning. It meant taking the initiative, doing something that he wanted to do. It meant thinking for himself, experiencing things for himself. It meant living his own life. It meant being an individual. Thus, the going forth from home into homelessness was a victory. It represented a victory over the, as we may call it, the internalized group. And having gone forth from home into homelessness, the Buddha-to-be, that is to be understood, approached in succession two spiritual teachers, two great and famous spiritual teachers of his time. And these teachers, who seem to have been very good teachers, very noble teachers, taught the Buddha all that they knew, everything. They taught him what they believed was the highest truth. And the Buddha learned what they taught. He was a very good pupil, a very good student. And whatever he learned, whatever they taught him, he experienced for himself. And in this way, he very quickly became the equal of his teachers. And these teachers, being very noble-minded people, realized this, and they offered to share with him the leadership of the communities that they had founded. But the Buddha refused, and he left them. He returned to his solitary wandering. And this, too, was a victory. So what was it a victory over? It was a victory over spiritual complacency. It was a victory over spiritual ambition. The Buddha knew what his teachers had taught him and what he had experienced for himself. And he knew that that was not, in fact, the highest truth. He knew that there was still something beyond, something higher, which he had not yet reached, not yet attained, not yet realized, and which he wanted to realize. The Buddha knew that he was not yet fully enlightened, despite what his teachers told him. In other words, the Buddha did not settle down in what was in reality a limited spiritual experience, even though by ordinary standards it was quite a high experience. It was not the highest, and the Buddha knew that it was not the highest. He was not fully satisfied. It was limited, so he refused to settle down in it. He did not become satisfied with what he had so far achieved. He overcame spiritual complacency. Moreover, his teachers offered to share with him the leadership of their communities. What an opportunity for a young man or a young woman. But the Buddha refused. He wasn't concerned with leadership. He was concerned with truth. He was concerned with enlightenment. Thus, he overcame spiritual ambition. Incidentally, it's interesting that the Buddha overcame spiritual complacency and spiritual ambition at the same time. The two are, in fact, closely connected. Because if you are spiritually ambitious, in the sense of seeking a position of spiritual leadership, you are likely to become spiritually complacent. And similarly, if you are spiritually complacent, you will tend to seek a position of spiritual leadership, as it were, by way of compensation. So the Buddha was victorious over both of these, over spiritual complacency and spiritual ambition. And he continued his quest alone. He decided to live in the depths of the forest. He decided to live in remote places, far from any human habitation. He decided to live in the wilderness, so to speak. He decided to live where it was very difficult to live, even for those committed to the spiritual life. And not only that, he stayed in what we would call haunted places. Places inhabited, at least according to popular belief, by ghosts, spirits. Places in which feelings of fear and terror were likely to arise. And they did arise as the Buddha dwelt in those solitary places, those haunted places. Those feelings of fear and terror, even panic fear and panic terror, did arise in his mind. So what did the Buddha do? If the fear and terror arose while he was walking to and fro, he continued walking to and fro until he had overcome them. He didn't run away. He didn't try to escape from those feelings of fear and terror. Similarly, if they arose while he was sitting still or while he was lying down, where they arose, there he faced them. And there he overcame them. In this way, he conquered fear. He was victorious over fear. Many people, of course, even today, do have this kind of experience. This experience of fear and terror, panic, dread, anxiety at least, especially when they're alone, perhaps when they're on solitary retreat. But howsoever and wheresoever we have this sort of experience, it's important to face it, to face the experience. It's important not to run away, whether literally or metaphorically. If we face it, well, we'll eventually overcome it, as the Buddha did. But even though the Buddha had overcome fear, he had still not attained enlightenment. That was still far off. So he embarked upon a course of extreme self-mortification, as we would call it. And the Buddhist scriptures give us full details of the various torments that he inflicted on himself. I'm not going to go into these, partly because the accounts that are given of them are very lengthy, and partly because they make rather unpleasant reading. The Buddha himself subsequently said that no one had gone to such extremes of self-mortification as he had gone. In fact, he very nearly died. But there were compensations. One might say, even hell has its compensations, what to speak of even the extremist self-mortifications. The Buddha became very famous. He attracted 5 close disciples who intended to remain with him. Until, as a result of his self-mortification, he attained enlightenment. Because in those days, it was a popular belief that by means of self-mortification, the extremer the better, you could attain enlightenment. But of course, the Buddha did not attain enlightenment by such means. Apparently, he was as far from enlightenment as ever. So what did he do? He gave up self-mortification, though he'd been practicing it for years. And he even, to the scandal of his disciples, started taking solid food again. Whereupon, his five disciples left him, deeply disappointed, because he was not the man they had thought him. He had weakened. He had returned, they thought, to a life of luxury. So once more, the Buddha was on his own. So what was it that the Buddha had overcome on this occasion? Where was his victory? On the face of it, it was more like a defeat than a victory. But actually, it was a victory. And it was a very great victory. The Buddha had overcome the very human tendency to refuse to admit that one has made a mistake, that one has been on the wrong path, and that one must now retrace one's steps and start all over again. After all, one has invested perhaps a lot of energy, what to speak of time and money and all sorts of other things, in making that mistake. So one doesn't like to admit, even to oneself, that all that energy, all that time, all that money, all that effort has, in a sense, been wasted. But the Buddha didn't mind doing this. He didn't mind losing his disciples. He didn't mind being on his own again. It would have been easy, in comparison, for him to continue with his self-mortification. Easy for him to become more and more famous. Easy for him to attract more and more disciples. But he didn't do this. He had admitted he had made a mistake in practicing self-mortification. And he again continued his quest. And this time his quest took him, eventually, to the foot of the Bodhi tree. There he sat down, as we've already seen, and there he was attacked by Mara and his forces.